It's really good to be here today. It's good to see everyone that's present. And we do have visitors. Thank you for coming. And we do have live stream, and we know that there are those that are watching this morning. Appreciate you watching. And it's good to see all the members that are here. We appreciate so very, very much your presence today. Certainly has been a rather long season of everyone getting the WGA and people been out sick and some been able to come back and others still out. But glad to see everyone that is here able to be with us today to worship the Lord. For those of you that through the years may have lost weight and you worked real hard, you dieted, you exercised, and you reached a goal and you lost the weight and you just felt like a new self. And there's nothing anything more satisfying about losing the weight than to put on the old clothes and they're just real baggy, you know, and big. And so you have to go get some new clothes. And you go get some new clothes and you put those clothes on and you look at yourself, you admire yourself. It's just a new you. I felt that a few times myself. And I guess from the heaviest to the lowest, about 60 pounds worth. I used to be a really big preacher in the brotherhood. But I'm not quite near what I used to be. But you feel good. You feel good about, you know, losing that weight and so forth. And I thought today we talk about putting on the new self spiritually. And there's not anything any more encouraging, uplifting, satisfying than to be able to feel fresh, to feel new, a new self. So I want to talk about that. And we began last week, we looked at Colossians chapter 3, and there's just a lot of information in that chapter. And I thought we'd revisit today, yet concentrate on another section of that passage. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 11. So what we'll do, we'll read this passage, Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11. And then we'll talk a little bit about it this morning. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Now, there's just absolutely more in that passage than we even began to have time to talk about this morning. But I want to suggest to us the concept of this putting off the old self and putting on the new self is the key to this section. Now, what I'd like to suggest to us that Paul, in this passage, he talked about the members of our earthly body. Now, you recall that in the New Testament, there is this contrast that is made between the fleshly and the spiritual. And that's what Paul is doing in this passage as well. And specifically, he talks about the members of our earthly body, and that is the vehicle through which Satan operates to cause us to do wrong or to sin. So he talks about putting to death those particular ideas. If you go back to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, just briefly, we won't have time this morning to go down too many rabbit trails. But in Galatians chapter 5, you may recall there that Paul talks about, at the end of that chapter, the flesh versus the spirit. And he names those works of the flesh, which many of those are mentioned in this Colossian passage that we just read. Then he talks about in verse 22 the fruit of the Spirit, showing the contrast between flesh and spirit. But then he talks about in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, to lose 1 pound or 50, you have to make up your mind that you're going to change not only the way you eat, but the way you live. If you only change the way you eat for a short period of time, you can lose weight, but then you soon gain it all back and more. But if you change your life, you can pretty much hang on to what you've lost and be this new self. It's pretty simple, but it's so very hard to do. I've not been a drinker. I've not been in the dope. I've never been addicted to any of those kinds of things. And I don't know what it is to try to give that stuff up. All I know is, all reports are, it's extremely difficult. But I do know this, that I have been addicted to junk food all of my life. I can eat candy, I can eat pie, cake, ice cream, Buffalo Wild Wings, cheese fries, and I'm making myself really hungry. And I can have the greatest intentions on Monday morning. Never start a diet on Sunday. It's not a good day to start. Monday's always a perfect day to start. And you can do really good on Monday, and then Tuesday, you're just wrong place, wrong time. Brother invites you over something, and they've got, you know, some kind of really special coconut strawberry cake thing. And you just, you know, you can't just take a bite because you're an addict. So you just eat, you know, four pieces, you know. Now, again, I don't know about other addictions, but I do know junk food addiction. And I tell you something else that I am ashamed to admit, that I've been all my life an addict to sin. You try to give it up, and you do pretty good for a while. Then something triggers. Another topic, maybe for another day, is what are the triggers in my life unto sin? You ever thought about that? Just like there is to drugs, there are triggers. Just like there are to eating, there are triggers. Triggers to sin. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You can be at the right place and your mind be somewhere else. Things can happen just like that. And how you've been spending your life really loving the Lord, doing what's right, man, you can fall off the wagon and the wagon be gone plumb out of sight in a short period of time. Putting on the new self begins with putting to death the flesh. Shutting off all means, all triggers, all opportunities to sin. And you really do know what they are, because you've been there and done that. You know what gets you. You know where your weaknesses are. And we've been trying to emphasize in this study of Colossians 3 that we're trying to move up a few levels from basic, fundamental, newborn Christian conversation. At some point, you've got to understand more than a child. You've got to be an adult. And when you're an adult, you understand that you cannot continue to devil in and go there and do this and watch that and hear that and be okay. Because you know that it'll lead you down the wrong path. You've been there time again. So to mature in Christ, you must decide that you must put to death your earthly, fleshly members. Now that's what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3 here. And he names them. He says immorality, which is a more modern translation in your English Bibles of the word fornication. Fornication, he says, impurity. Impurity is anything and everything that leads to fornication. Impurity would be watching things, hearing things, going places. That is suggestive. That leads to fornication. Passion. It's an uncontrolled sexual desire. God put a desire in each human being for sexual things. Some have it stronger than others. Some have more control than others. Some don't have to get married because it's just not a big issue to them. Some have to get married because it is a big issue with them. Read 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 7. So all that is to say that when we're talking about evil desire, that is desiring things forbidden, a piece of chocolate cake never looked so good to me except when I'm not supposed to have it. And invariably, they will add the vanilla ice cream on the side and it's sitting right there. And you're thinking, man, that looks good. Yes, I want that. Now. But I can't. I'm not going to. I'm going to walk away. Now, some of you are sitting there, some of you people that are just, you know, really skinny about the size of this mic, you know, I ain't talking to you. But for the rest of us that really have issues with that, that doesn't even seem fair to compare to something like this that Paul's talking about. But yet, it attacks your self-control. Self-control is a topic that we have discussed before. And each and all of these, including the topic he mentions here, greed, idolatry, which amounts to idolatry, is the fact that our desire, our self-control is out of control. We don't have the ability to say no. We don't have the ability to walk away. Now here is where we are approaching whether or not we are spiritually mature or not. At some point in time in the growth of a Christian, you get to a point to where you no longer are deceived. You are no longer rebellious, You get to the point of self-control that you know better, and you're not going to be rebellious and just dive in anyway. You're going to say no. Because you know what's going to happen next. And because now that you're mature in Christ and you understand the significance of this Lord's Supper, our sins put Him on the cross. And it's no longer okay to go ahead and sin and justify it by saying, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me later. That ain't going to get it. No more. Because I'm a mature Christian. And I have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I'm a new self. I'm a new person. So for a lot of people, these particular desires that we're looking at on the board here are really, really, really strong desires. They are all addictive. Greed. Gambling. But people think it's harmless to lay down a small bet here and there, play the lottery, etc., etc. You're dealing with disaster. Because at the heart of gambling is greed. And greed is idolatry. And to ever bow down one time to that idol is wrong. And you can become addicted. So what does Paul say? You need to die to these things. But then notice next. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God will come. God is not happy about any of those sins. He is not happy with me. He is not happy with you when you participate in that regularly or once in a blue moon. It's still wrong. Maturity, putting on that new self, is when you put on Christ because you have taken off that old self of participating in those kinds of things. You've made up your mind you're not going to do that. And people can wave the chocolate cake and the ice cream and the pizza and whatever before you, and you are a new self that you can walk away and be happy about walking away. We're not like Lot's wife, walk away and then keep looking back, you know, and say, oh man. Now, if you've ever gone through seriously trying to overcome anything, especially dieting and so forth, you know what I'm talking about. Because we have strong appetites. Sin is like that. And worse. The wrath of God is going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Did you notice that it said sons? Paul is not talking about the heathens out there. Now, is God going to take care of the heathen? Yes, absolutely. But He's going to judge us too. I've used this illustration before, and I'll use it again. My mother was pretty much the number one disciplinarian in my home, in our home when I grew up. But there was a time or two when my mother would say, you wait till your dad gets home. Well, I would rather her just go ahead and give me a beating than have to wait hours till my dad got home and knew that I was going to get a beating. It's better to go ahead and get it over with, be done with it. But anticipating the fact that there was going to be discipline, there was going to be wrath, is not a good feeling to have. As Christians, as mature Christians, when you put off the old self and you put on the new self, you don't have to sit around worrying, stressing, because God's coming again. You look forward to Him coming. You want Him to come. You'll be glad when He gets home and takes us home. But when you live your life like you know you're not supposed to, you live your life in dread, in fear. Brother and sister in Christ, if you've been a Christian a long time, and your Christian life is all about fear, you have not matured. That is not where God wants you to be. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to put on the new self. The wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Yes, God will judge His children. We all once lived this way. We're all addicted to sin. And we need to give it up. He goes on to talk about, in verse 8 and 9, things that maybe we don't talk a lot about. But he talks about not only fornication and impurity and passion, and those things maybe even many of us would list or label as really bad things. And they are. They are bad things. But we might tend to look at his next list of anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, and lying. It's not that big a deal. And sometimes we do live our lives thinking, well, at least I haven't committed adultery. But we have a real problem with our temper. And we just think it's not that bad. And that's where you're deceived. That's being deceived. Deception is a characteristic of an immature Christian. You can deceive a child. But an adult, one that is mature, they've been around the block a time or two. You're not going to deceive them. So when we talk about anger, when you talk about wrath, wrath is different from anger. Anger can be that which just, you know, you're mad forever. Wrath is more of a temporary flare-up, really get an outburst, if you will. You just, at the drop of a hat, you just lose your mind. And after a few minutes, you know, you cool off and you're done with it. You ever been that way? Well, let me say it plainly so that we understand what we're talking about. In this context, Paul is not saying, okay, here's sensuality or here's impurity, and that's really, really, really bad. Now here, if you lose your temper, well, that's not good, but, you know, it's not that bad. That is not how he categorizes this. In God's eyes, if you're a fornicator, that's bad. But if you blow off, you blow up, you lose it, same thing. And what is it? The same thing. It's a work of the flesh. And you got to kill it. You got to kill it. You know, if you just can't keep your mouth shut, and you slander and put other people down. You're abusive in your speech to your spouse, to your children, to others. Abusive speech is a very broad term that can include gossip, can include lewd and suggestive talk. No, maybe you're not one that, you know, commits adultery. But maybe just constantly out of your mouth is nothing but lies and filthy, dirty talk. In God's eyes, you're not mature. You need to take off the old self. You need to put on the new self. To be what you ought to be before Christ. Now notice what else he says here. Putting on the new self. Now this is a great positive thing about it. He says it's being renewed. We talked a little bit last week because the first Sunday of the year, you know, New Year's resolutions, and probably most of us make some about something, maybe even including losing weight, but any number of things. And we want to start again. We want to do better. And that's admirable. That's good. But putting on the new self spiritually, when you take off the old self, it is a renewal. Now, the only way that you can be renewed in Christ is through His blood. If you're not a Christian, that's not possible. But in Christ, you can start over. You can be renewed. But notice what he says in this text. He says, to a true knowledge. I doubt that there's very many times that when I preach or teach a class, that you're sitting there and you say, I've never heard that before in my life. I doubt that that rarely ever happens. You know. But here's the deal. When you're talking to your teenagers and they roll their eyes because you're telling them for the 43rd time the same thing you've been telling them, and they say something like, Dad, I know that. Well, yeah, you know that. But that's not the problem. The problem is when you know something, but you don't do it. In some respect, and I don't mean that I'm better than you or anything like that, but a preacher-teacher responsibility is to tell you the true knowledge. And most all of you, many of you, some of you, sit there and roll your eyes and say, we know that. Well, here's where your renewal is. It's not per se learning something that you don't know. It's finally registering with you that what God says, you finally give up and say, yes, Lord, I know that's true, and I haven't been practicing what I know is right. Now I'm going to put off of that old self. I'm going to put off the flesh. I'm going to put on the new self, and I'm going to be renewed in knowledge and do exactly what I know is right. That's what that passage said. And that's according to the image of Christ. If I was to say to you this morning, well, here's our job as New Testament disciples in 2023. Be like Jesus. And everyone would say, whoa, we never heard that before. Wow, that's a new one. Right. But here's where the maturity level changes. Is that when you, in your own heart, you say, you know, I've known that for a long time, that I ought to be living like Jesus. And you know, I just haven't been doing that. I realize that I'm immature, that I've been living like a child, and I'm going to quit it. I'm going to grow up. Parents, those of you old enough to have older children, maybe children that are away from home and married, do you remember the day that your child grew up? Do you remember the day that your sons became men? Remember how proud you were? Sometimes it just takes a while for people to get it. And there are people that have been Christians for 20 years that don't get it. They don't get it. They've been in the church for 20 years and they're just as big a baby in Christ, immature as all get out, as they can be. And they think they're just fine. You got to learn to put on the new self. And there's no distinction. It doesn't make any difference if you're Jew or Greek, whoever you are. This applies to every person. So, when we stop to consider putting off the old self, Colossians and Ephesians, there's a lot of similarity in these two epistles. And just briefly, I want to read basically the same particular teaching, but to the Ephesians. Just read a couple, three verses here in Ephesians 4. And maybe this wording will help you. Ephesians 4, 22. Paul says, Ephesians 4, 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Did you notice there the emphasis about being renewed in the spirit of your mind? No one ever loses a pound until they themselves make up their mind they're going to do it. For years, when I was a quite large preacher, I would eat those cheese fries. And my wife would look at me and say, "You shouldn't eat that." You know what that made me want to do? Order a second order. And when I ordered a double cheeseburger, she says, "You shouldn't eat that." I'd order a triple. Now, what would you call that? There's lots of names for that. It's called being rebellious. Do you know what brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis sit in an auditorium here to praise the Lord? And the preacher gets up and says, "You need two," and you fill in the blank, and you sit there and say, "Well, I'm going for the triple next week." It's rebellion. Been there, done that, bought the hat and the t-shirt and the whole nine yards. And it's this: ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm a grown person. Ain't no elder, no preacher, no Bible class teacher going to tell me I'm wrong and I need to change. And you know what? Ain't nobody going to tell you. Because you got the head of a stump. You have to make up your own mind that you're going to change. And when you make up your mind through Christ, you can do all things. So this great passage that we're looking at here, it's not, we're not talking about something miraculous. We're talking about the plain and simple growth of the New Testament Christian. Now, so the question is this morning, where are you? How are you dressed? You got your old self clothes on? And you're doing things wrong, and you know you're doing things wrong, and you're going to keep doing things wrong? Because there ain't nobody can tell you anything. At some point in time, you're going to have to let the Word of God touch your heart. And you're going to have to make up your mind to put on the new self. Those of you that have put on the new self, when you put those clothes on and you're likened to Christ, I'm going to tell you, there's just not a better feeling in the world to know that you're a new man of God. So, what you going to do? Going to put on the new man? Or are you going to go leave and order cheese fries? It's your choice. This morning, the song Just As I Am, great song, to simply illustrate for all of us the very essence of what we've been talking about this morning. So if you need to be baptized into Christ, nobody can tell you to do that. But Jesus Christ tells you to do that. So you can obey, or you can refuse. It's your choice. If you're not what you ought to be as a disciple, isn't it time to grow up? Isn't it time to be what you ought to be? What you know you ought to be? And for those of you that have put on that new self, doesn't it feel great? Isn't it wonderful? That's why Jesus died for you. For spiritual joy in Christ. Won't you come as we stand and sing?